27 is also from the HR director, relative to a residency waiver for physicians in an unclassified service, informational, unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Chairman, did you
have I have some concerns. I don't know if she had any presentation.
Did you have a presentation for us? We have only one item, but did you want to say anything to item 27?
Well, I'll share. Thank you, Chairman and Supervisors. One thing I will share with the group is that when I received this request on May 31st, I performed a very independent analysis of the request. I questioned the incumbent. I performed some market analyses. And prior to making my recommendation, I did have a legal review performed to ensure that I was interpreting the ordinance appropriately. After all of that, I submitted my recommendation. I know that residency is a very sensitive issue, mm-hmm. and I respect that. I had read a communication from Supervisor Cullen expressing concerns. I believe that I interpreted the ordinance in the spirit and the letter of the law in which it was written, and it was certainly not my intention to upset anyone. I know there are some individuals who are unhappy with my decision. But I want everyone to understand that I'm trying to do what's in the best interest of the county, and in this particular case, looking at the facts at hand, I felt that that's what I was doing.
Chairman Cullen.
Now, you said you did some investigation on this situation. Now, Mr. Tafora has his house for sale.
That's correct.
And it's been for sale for a year or so, or do we know?
It's been on sale more than
that. Have you dropped the price significantly?
There was one point in the time that he had, then it was taken off the market, and I think then that's when he started at the county, and then he posted the residence at the original price. So in the last several months, I don't think there's been a drop.
What do you mean by the original price?
Because he's had it up for sale a couple of times, different times over the past 2 years.
Okay. So
without success.
So let's just clarify this for me. So he was, what's his hire date?
I don't have it in front of me, yeah. Oh, it would have been like June.
About June 20th?
June 20th of 11, something like that. Mm-hmm.
And at what point did he put his house up for sale after June 20th, 2011?
I believe it was around December or January, somewhere in there.
So almost to the end of his first 6 months.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. And he established a price for the house.
Yes.
So since December of 2011 to now June 21st of 2012, do you know if he's reduced his price?
I investigated and looked into this, he had not dropped it yet.
He had not.
So.
And you consider that a significant effort to sell his house and move into the county?
Well, it's been on sale for some time. I don't know how you define significant effort, but...
Well, I guess if I have an automobile for sale and I want $20,000 for it, and somebody says I have to sell it in the next 6 months, and then it's a $10,000 automobile, and after 6 months is up, I say, well, I still want $20,000. Mm-hmm. That doesn't seem to me to be a significant effort to sell the automobile. And I think you can extrapolate that to a house, mm-hmm. to anything. So I don't know all of the intricacies of that. I am concerned that the administration doesn't seem to value or care about the residency requirement as some other people would. And I have something drafted that maybe Mr. Katie can pass out now. And it would propose that in the future that if a waiver is asked for to waive the residency requirement for non-represented employees, that it be approved by the county board so we don't have situations like this. Because I think this is a bad precedent to set. It's bad for our other employees to tell everybody else who works in the county that you have to live in the county, but the economic development director makes some sort of cursory effort to sell his home and doesn't move in. And we approve him on May 24th. 6 days later, you get a request from the county executive to say, well, now we want a waiver. I have have to believe that someone knew that on May 24th when we were taking that up, and we should have been told that, because that was being contemplated. If I'm wrong, somebody can correct me. If somebody can say, well, geez, I didn't think of that till May 25th, you know, I find that hard to believe and somewhat incompetent, but, you know, I'll take them at their word. So that's what this does, and I would hope that we would adopt this policy and send this to the full board. I think it's pretty simple, and I don't know if, you know, if Mr. Grady or Mr. Katie has any other explanation to the policy drafted. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I see that. Okay. According to Chairman Cullen, the way that the director, do you have a copy of the?
I was just given one.
Okay. Mm-hmm. With respect to form, because this is the way that the item came to us, then this is the way that item 27, I should say, came to us, then the form is what it is. To be consistent as it relates to that which is on the agenda.
Excuse me?
Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Katie, if people don't understand what I'm saying, instead of it coming from one of the board members,
The item in front of you is an informational report or otherwise directed by the committee. This resolution is a by the committee resolution. It's not a typical supervisor resolution.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, you don't see a sponsor, and that's why the header is presented as it is, because it applies to this file number, and that's the official heading of this file number. So it's being moved as a by the committee resolution.
By the committee, okay. Okay, any questions on that? That explains it to me by the committee. Supervisors Lipscomb, Schmidt, and Alexander.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I too share the concerns expressed very well by Supervisor Cullen. I would disagree with the fact that this waiver was granted in the spirit of the existing ordinance, and if this is what's necessary to clarify that for the future, for everyone to understand the importance of this issue. I mean, we're all subject to residency. I've been subject to residency in past employment. I think it's really important. You know, I think says something that you know, just that paycheck is going back to Ozaukee County, and those taxes are being paid to Ozaukee County, and likewise. But I did want to understand, has Corp Counsel seen the by the committee resolution?
Yeah.
I wanted to know what effect, if any, this would have on the waiver that's before us. Would it apply to subsequent reviews of that waiver, or would it call for all existing, or would I if I wanted it to apply to this waiver and all other waivers, would we have to insert an additional provision to do that they should all be re-reviewed and brought before the committee?
Good afternoon, Corporation Counsel Walker.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. As it relates to the resolution before the committee at this moment, this resolution as adopted would not impact the waiver that's been granted to Mr. Shafora. It would apply on a prospective basis. It wouldn't apply retroactively.
Could an Could an additional whereas clause create such a process that any existing waivers should be brought to the committee for approval?
Mr. Chairman, I don't believe that you would be able to add an additional whereas clause that would have any impact on waivers that have already been granted. It would be looking forward only.
I'm sorry. Be it resolved. That's what I meant. Could there be another? You do not believe there's a way to?
I don't believe there's a way to impact either the residency waiver at issue or any other waivers that have been granted up to, you know, today's date prior to the adoption by the committee. That action's already been taken.
It's done.
Okay. Could I also ask that
go ahead.
Either HR or the executive respond to the timing issue? Because I also felt misled by that. I voted for the appointment with the understanding that we knew the term of that employment and the conditions of that employment. And I did that in good faith because I thought to deny him the appointment, but to be asking him to sell his house at the same time that he didn't know whether he'd be able to continue in employment would be unfair. But I feel I was misled. So I'd like to know, when did you begin looking at this issue of a waiver and the opportunity to end run around the county board?
Mr. Horst or Director Mitchell?
Chairman, supervisors, I'll speak to the process up to the point that we submitted an application for the waiver to the Department of Human Resources. The culmination of a situation in which county executive was elected under a special election, having then a year before his election and appointing directors and then a reappointing directors created a distinct situation that's never been at the county before. I think there was hesitancy for director levels to accept positions to begin with because of the situation that they faced with the possible unemployment a year out from when they were hired. Once it was clear that the county executive wouldn't be facing a challenger, there was a time for everyone to assess and begin to... I'm sorry, I'm trying to give you the line of logic that addresses the timing issue. And so the issue brought before regarding the date of sale or the date of placement on the market of a house, while he had it on the market before, replacing it once the situation was more certain. Jumping forward to the timing of reappointment in regards to that year residency extension, the 6 months plus 6 months. I think we all know the process of selling your house to closing your house is not one that's a fast process. If we receive an offer on a house today, it's often at least a month, if not 6 months, before you close on that house. Knowing that he had not received an offer on his house sent down the Legistar entry, we knew that there was a distinct possibility that we would hit that date and there would not be a closure since he had not received an offer on his house to that date. So we had begun researching the breadth of options available to us to maintain his employment in a time that the county executive feels is very critical to the county in regards to land sales. Many of the opportunities we explored were not viable. This one did present the only viable option that was available to us. When we realized that we would be reaching his culmination date of employment, we submitted it with enough time for the Director of Human Resources to have adequate time to review that before we would have
his termination date if that would have been necessary if her review had resulted in a decision that he did not put forth the effort, did not meet the criteria as outlined in the ordinance. It was not our intent to do an end round around the board. The county executive feels strongly that the residency requirement should be in place. There have been many issues that people have brought to us as ways we could do an end round around the system. None of those we felt were legal or transparent. This was the most transparent process that we could move forward with. So this is how we move forward.
Mr. Chair, so they were clearly pursuing this option on a parallel path during the appointment process with all the discussion about making sure that the extension of time was, you know, there was all this talk about getting clarification on when the timing was that he had to be here, and the administration believes that they were transparent, that this was a transparent process, that this shouldn't have been disclosed to us during all that deliberation. You didn't think that was a material thing to share with us?
Well, the transparency I'm reflecting is that people have talked with us about renting an apartment and having him have an address in the county. In the county executive opinion, that's not a transparent process. That's lying to the taxpayers. That's lying to the board. It could possibly be an illegal action if someone reported him to the Milwaukee County Sheriff's. The transparency was, how do we best maintain his employment in a critical period for the county? We don't expect this to be a permanent solution to this problem. We still hope he will sell his house and move into the county. And at the time in which the critical time has passed, the county executive and him will have a conversation about options that exist for his employment at Milwaukee County at that date and time. There are just a culmination of circumstances that resulted in our desire to maintain his employment and hence apply for this waiver.
Before I get to Supervisor Stanford, the waiver is for how long, Director?
Well, the waiver that's in here. The ordinance requires that I review any waiver on a quarterly basis and report on it. I'm sorry, on an annual basis and report on it quarterly. That's how what it's.
So it would be reviewed for a year and you would report every 3 months.
Right. I need to review it quarterly to ensure that it still makes sense and is moving in the right direction, but report on it annually.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you very much. Supervisor Stanford and Supervisor Jury.
So yeah, Chairman. That was my question. Is there expiration for the waiver? Otherwise, you're saying it's indefinite? His house can never be sold?
Well, the ordinance isn't clear about how long it's for. So the way I'm looking at this is, if I'm really focused on retaining and attracting the best possible talent for the county, and in some of these niche positions, it will be difficult to fill them. And that's one of the things I looked at in this position. It's if I'd made the other decision and said, you know what, it's been a year, this is it, you know, we'd be in a vacancy situation and we may find our best candidate, someone we need to bring in from outside the county again. We just don't know. It's a very different kind of position. So, to answer your question, is there an end to this?
Mm-hmm.
It's not articulated in the ordinance, so it's an ongoing review.
Okay. And then just real quick, so the stance from Human Resources is you have to sell your house to move? Can't you move and then sell your house later or whenever somebody buys it? Why do you have to wait to sell your house to move? Can't you move and then sell your house later?
Depends if you can afford it or not. I mean,
that's true.
Many people can't afford two mortgages.
Yes, but it's a contingency on your employment.
Mm-hmm.
It produces a more incentive to sell your house quicker.
Mm-hmm.
And one more thing regarding the resolution. Once a waiver is set, our resolutions, you said you can't go back retroactively. Can you do a resolution to put an expiration on a waiver that has already been implemented?
Mr. Chairman, if you put language in the resolution in terms of setting a deadline, again, it would only apply to future waivers. So I want to correct the one statement that the director made regarding the exemption granted to Mr. Tafora. That exemption is permanent as to him in that role. The annual review and the quarterly update that she's talking about is as to the classification. So any other people that are hired into that role in future dates, if she's still determining that that role is required to have that exemption, then those limits that you're talking about, you would be placing them on a go forward because she hasn't given the waiver. But as it relates to Mr. Tafora, his residency exemption is permanent.
Okay. One last question. If an elected official doesn't live in his district, can the county supervisor grant a waiver for the elected for a supervisor? Can that happen?
No.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Given what I heard from Corporation Counsel Walker, at what time was it made known to anybody that this is permanent? I'm just hearing this for the first time.
It's permanent?
Isn't that what I just heard? Permanent?
Mm-hmm. I'm going to take a stab at it. And back up a little bit. This is very similar to a provision that's always existed for a long time in the civil service rules for those positions. The question is, can this position be recruited for with this residency requirement? And the DHR director has been given authority in the past for those kinds of positions to waive residency. So if you are, for example, a nurse, we have waived the residency requirements for nurses. Sure. We've hired, let's say, 100 of them without residency requirements. I don't know what the number is. If tomorrow the DHR director says, we've got a surplus of nurses in the marketplace, we don't need to have to waive that residency requirement, we're putting that residency requirement back in place. That doesn't mean we fire the 100 nurses who have been hired. It applies to every future nurse who is hired. This is the exact same thing. It's just the difference here is it's only one person in a one-position situation. And so when you grant a residency waiver for that person to be hired, that residency waiver is good for that person as long as they're in that position. And it's no different. Give me another example by analogy. If you have somebody who, let's say say a position does not require a college degree. You hire people without college degrees. If you later decide that people in that position need a college degree, you can't fire the people who have already been hired.
Correct.
It's only for future hires. The only difference with Mr. Tafora is he has a term, and so his waiver is permanent, but only for his term, which is until the next confirmation and appointment 4 years from now, roughly. So
okay.
It's permanent in that sense. It's permanent for the length of his term. But that's why it is by definition permanent. It's not a thing unique to him or to this particular waiver, but when you grant a waiver to residency requirements, the people hired under that waiver serve under that waiver until they either leave the position.
Well, then I would ask, thank you, Mr. Grady. Then I would ask Director Mitchell, what are you reviewing on a quarterly basis? Where he lives?
Well, it's where he lives. It's, the price on the house, but it's also what this particular position is worth in the market if it were to become vacant. And that's a key part to this. And how hard is it to find? I believe that people with these skill sets are out there. I believe there are some in Milwaukee County. The question is, are they going to be willing, are they available to work? Do they want to come here? All those questions are...
So your review is for your office. Your review is for your department, so you basically know what the market will bear for his successor, whenever that is to happen.
Right.
His his waiver is permanent until April 2016.
Well, according to what I've just heard from Corp Counsel, that sounds accurate. Yes,
and you knew this, ma'am?
At the time that I did this review, my understanding of this is that it's temporary in the sense that I'm reviewing it ongoing, and based on my findings, things could change. At the time I issued it, I didn't understand that the person would be exempted ongoing. I didn't have that knowledge. I'm understanding that now.
Yeah. Thank you, Director. Supervisor Jersey.
It was the Economic Development Committee that initially reviewed Mr. Tepore. And at committee, we temporarily laid this over and asked Mr. Grady to please check the issue, which we were basing the decision on, was residency. If we approved Mr. Tepore, how long would the year last? In other words, we were concerned if we were making the decision in June that we would actually extend for another 6 months. We temporarily laid it over. Mr. Grady went and conferred, as I understand it, with Ms. Mitchell and others, that no, based on the current time period which Mr. Tepore had come to work for the county, our approval was only for a 6 plus 6 month period, and any action we were taking was not going to extend that. It was very clear from the circumstances, from the record that is recorded and in existence, that the vote was taken in reliance on an issue of residency and residency alone, not waivers. So I continue to contend that this board's approval of Mr. Tepore, based on opinions we got from Corp Counsel and the circumstances in existence, were voted on the issue of we're going to approve Mr. Tepore under the 6 plus 6 month. Now, the opinion, and I think it was purposeful, and I tend to agree with my colleague Supervisor Lipscomb, didn't come down on waiver until after the full board acted on the recommendation from Economic Development on Mr. Tepore, which we, I think, all voted on approval of Mr. Tepore based on residency. I would like to suggest that going forward, if we have a new approval process based on now waiver and not residency, that can take place after June 21st, because we were advised Mr. Tepore's residency was through June 21st. We relied on it. We acted in that manner. There's a whole new issue before us now, and that is the waiver. And by the way, you know, Cudahy just hired a economic development director, and they had dozens and dozens of applications. This is not like a coroner, or not even like an RN for that matter. There are many, many people in the marketplace that can fill these types of jobs. So I'm not buying really from this end that this was a hard-to-fill position. But more importantly, this bait and switch is not going to sit well with the board. And Mr. Tepore is in a very important position with regard to economic development and a lot of projects that are moving forward currently. And he should not want to be here under this cloud. I can't emphasize that enough, but I do not like the way administration has not been forthcoming and upfront with us. That is no way to work with policy directors. I very much want to work with the third floor when it comes to economic development, but not if we're going to be treated in this way. And I want to look at this issue over again, because I believe the action was taken based on residency only as of June 21st. That ended. We got clear information from Corp Counsel that ended, and I think if we're going to move forward now, I will support Supervisor Cullen's resolution to change this policy, and I do think after June 21st, it does apply to Mr. Tepore. So I would like to have that considered by Corp Counsel in that light, and we got an opinion from Corp Counsel that 6 plus 6 month clearly was based on strictly residency. We never approved Mr. Tepore beyond June 21st if he hadn't moved into this county under a new issue with regard to waiver. Thank you.
Thank you. Supervisor Stamper.
Yeah, thank you, Chairman. You said you're going to do a every 3 month review?
And a quarterly basis.
Quarterly basis, okay. Mm-hmm. So what does that review entail? Does that see what, how many people came by the house or how many, how much the house is worth? I mean, what is that assessment? I mean, what does that entail?
Well, as I look at the ordinance as well as civil service, to be honest, I believe that the Human Resources Department should be reviewing all waivers on all of these positions on a regular basis. Now, since I've been here, that's not something that's happened as I'm looking into this. So I need to be looking at all those positions. But I would look at, again, looking at market data in terms of difficulty to fill, availability in the marketplace for the position, those types of things. And then, obviously, separately, we'd look at, you know, the aggressiveness in terms of selling a home.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, yesterday I was in a committee, and the county was helping a company find a loan to help them with whatever to get the assessable, get part of the house assessable. Does the county help with selling a home?
No.
No, we don't do that?
No.
Okay. All
right. Okay.
Thank you.
Supervisor Alexander.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First, I'd like to preface what's on my mind by saying I personally do not look very favorably on residency requirements. However, I do look favorably on having a law on the books and making sure that it's followed or changed in the proper procedure. What I really want to have expressed here is that earlier at the very beginning of this discussion, questions were asked about how aggressively has this employee attempted to sell his house and to move into the county. And it seems that there's not a lot of information available as to what the intensity of his intentions have been or how we would define that. I would strongly encourage anyone presenting the impression of an aggressive sales tactic or aggressive effort in the future to have information prepared as to what the cost or the investment in the house was in the year of purchase, the amount owed on any mortgages or encumbrances in relation to the sale price. It makes a big difference in light of things when someone may be asking for leniency or when it seems that there's something shady possibly going on. Also, any reasons that the waiver applicant isn't moving into a rental property. If we were looking at two different situations here, one where we have a single employee that owns his home outright versus another employee with seven children that needs a house with six or seven bedrooms that has a mortgage on his house that's upside down, those are very different circumstances, and I think this committee might be partial towards more leniency and less aggressiveness towards new ordinances if things like that were presented, but I haven't heard a very convincing argument here. So I apologize for that dissent because I'm usually not favorable towards the ordinance in the beginning position, but this seems pretty clear to me that we should be moving favorably in towards the resolution proposed. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much. Supervisor Lipscomb, and we will move forward on this item.
Thank you. I just one clarification, because we're having a lot of discussion about his house, and as I'm rereading this now, the existing ordinance, and there is no provision for the fact that the person's having difficulty meeting residency. I mean, that may come up in your granting the 6 month extension, but the waiver only on the basis of classification, vacancy, experience, and difficulty in recruitment cannot be filled by qualified personnel. So I mean, that's before the time of hire, before you've exhausted your year to sell your house, that you're looking at that issue. And in your testimony, Madam Director, you said you're certain you could find other people. They might also have challenges with residency. Well, that's the decision that people make when they accept the job. But if you're in fact able to find qualified people who would accept the job, they accept that challenge. So I guess I'm raising question over whether you in fact properly reviewed this if, in fact, you were taking these market factors into consideration, because that is of absolutely no reference in the ordinance. This is strictly about, could you find another qualified candidate? And you've even said, yes, you could. It just would be a burden to him or something, because, or that they might have similar burdens. Well, you don't know that.
Thank you very much. I have one question.
Go ahead.
Can we have a response, though? Because what relevance is it that it's a challenge for him to sell his house? I have my house from 4 years ago when I decided to run for this position and take up residency in the first district. I haven't been able to sell it. I moved. Ultimately, 2 years later. That's irrelevant, but it's irrelevant here, too. That's his challenge. He accepts that when he accepts the position. He knew what he was accepting.
Thank you, Chairman and Supervisors. To your point, in the ordinance, the first paragraph goes to the person. The second paragraph, which is what I was primarily looking at, goes to the position. Mm-hmm. And the reason we're talking about his home is because some of the supervisors were asking questions about the sale of the home and the aggressiveness and so forth, which is information I had. But that's how I would, I guess, answer the question. That's how I looked at the ordinance.
Chairman. But is it that how you going to do the reviews on a quarterly basis based on his home? When I just asked you, you said it was based on a market analysis. And
yeah, I'll look at everything. I think to ignore any pieces of it would be, inappropriate.
Well, just last question. Now that all this came out and we know this, would you make the same decision again and give him a waiver again?
Would I make the same decision again?
Yeah. Would you make the same decision and give him a waiver?
Yes, I would. It's a very difficult decision, but I would make the same decision because I do believe that it's in the best interest of the county. I think it would have been more harmful to the county to cut this person loose and risk the numerous projects. And I haven't articulated them, too, because a lot of them are in negotiation and process. But I think it would be more harmful to the county to lose out on those opportunities and cut him loose and start over again than to simply try and use the ordinance properly and make this work. So that was my goal.
Thank you.
Chairman Cullen?
Just so that we have a clear record so we don't have the problems that you guys had, Ms. Torres or Director Mitchell, are there any other waivers that anybody is contemplating for any other non-represented employee at this time?
I have not received any requests for waivers since this one.
We are not contemplating putting any forth at this time.
Thank you very much. I have another. Okay. We have a.
When is this, right? June 21st.
Which is today. End of the day. 5:00.
Tomorrow.
We have a resolution from the committee, an ordinance change before us.
Do we have a motion?
I'll move. Chairman Cullen moves approval of the resolution and ordinance change. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Resolution ordinance, Supervisors Haas?
Aye.
Schmidt?
Aye.
Jerzyk?
Aye.
Lipscomb?
Aye.
Alexander?
Aye.
Stanford?
Aye.
Cullen?
Aye.
Mr. Chair?
Aye.
Motion approved, 8-0.
Thank you very much. Thank you all very much.